The reading this morning shall come from Romans 15. That's Romans the 15th chapter. And I shall begin reading the 4th verse. I'll be reading from the King James Version. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patient and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be likened one toward another according to the Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Brother Tommy, for that reading from the letter to the Romans. Thank you for being in our worship assembly today. We're delighted that you have chosen to be here because of your interest in spiritual things and your love for Christ and your desire to serve Him. We're so thankful for each and every one. We do have visitors today, as we do quite often on Sundays, and we're so very thankful that you chose to be with us today. We will pray for your safety as you go about your affairs of the day and be at the places where you need to be, but we're thankful that you're here with us now. This morning we want to look at a phrase that's taken from Romans 15 in verse 4 through 6 actually, but the phrase, through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures. And what that is referring to when Paul wrote these words was not really the New Testament Scriptures, since they were not compiled together and cataloged into a written form of the New Testament. When Paul is saying through the encouragement of the Scriptures, he's actually referring to the Old Testament Scriptures that were quite commonly used in those days, especially among the Jews, to worship God and to serve Him. I think that illustrative of the encouragement that we can gain from the Scriptures, I will mention to you in the lesson this morning a specific book from the Old Testament Scriptures in the book of Psalms. Because the Psalms have been primarily at the center of worship for both the Jews and Christians since they were written. They were sung or chanted in the temple and the synagogue worship services to God. They were on the lips of Christians as they worshiped in the first century New Testament times. Paul in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, the instruction to Christians in Ephesus to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, but singing and making melody with their hearts to the Lord is how they were instructed. There must be something tremendously valuable about the Psalms that fits right in to our focus of being encouraged by the Scriptures. The book of Psalms is quoted in the New Testament more often than any other Old Testament book, a fact that is not realized sometimes. As a matter of fact, an index of quotations in a Greek New Testament lists 414 quotations or allusions to Psalms that are found in the pages of our New Testaments. So undoubtedly, the use of Psalms in the New Testament witnesses to the significance of that book. And I think it is very significant that we can be encouraged by that book. Through the inspiration of God and God's providence, the book of Psalms grew into a final collection over a period of about 1,000 years, approximately. It's similar to a hymn book in that it's made of songs that were written over several centuries and gathered together into its final book form, containing what you and I catalog as 150 psalms. There are songs, There are supplications, prayers, wisdom pieces, devotional thoughts that were utilized by the children of Israel. Many passages are given to prayer. Many are given to praise. Many speak of walking with God. So many speak of worshiping God. So when one reads the Psalms, he's actually looking at into the songs and into the guidelines of living, if you will, and prayers that were sung, that were meditated upon, that were prayed by devout servants of God and worshipers of God in the Old Testament period. It's interesting to me that every human emotion that there is expressed or is touched upon somewhere in the book of Psalms. All deep feelings and all-encompassing thoughts appear somewhere in the book. Each psalm is new and refreshing and expresses the feelings that we have had in our lives or will have at some point in our lives. The reader might say, whoever wrote this has lived the same type of life that I live, has lived under the circumstances that I am presently under, has experienced the difficulties that I'm experiencing now, or has felt the great joys that I'm feeling now. Encouragement from the Scriptures, especially as we look at Psalms, it's really about walking with God. And the book of Psalms illustrates this beautifully, and that's why I picked it out, to focus in on our expression this morning, the encouragement from the Scriptures. Psalms is a book that really just should not be read. It should be experienced by every devout believer in God. And the experiences are there if we will dive in and let ourselves experience them. Psalms is more of a devotional book than a history book. It's more of a song book than a law book. Someone has said that the book is really meant to be read while one is on his knees. And I think that expresses the devotional content of the book. How can you and I come to experience Psalms? First, the book can provide for us a guide in directing our thinking toward God. It can get us to think about God. And it can get our children to think about God when we read Psalms to them. Some may find it rewarding to read them thoughtfully for a while and then write your own psalm as a result of that. One can ask, how has this psalm really taught me to think about God? The Psalms reflect the beauty and the meaning of what it is to walk with God. By absorbing them, by meditating on them, we find that they clarify the desires of our own hearts even, and help us to visualize what communion with God and fellowship with God and even worship to God really means. Second, they can help us in our struggle in learning how to pray. You remember in the New Testament, the disciples made the request of Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. But the Jews were people who fundamentally knew how to pray. And Psalms was a big reason for that. One Christian said that he really didn't know how to pray. He really didn't know how to come up with the right words to express himself in an adequate way, he thought, to the God of heaven. And a friend of his advised him to use Psalms as a primer for his thoughts. He said to him, you can't say everything within them in a prayer to God, but much of what is in the Psalms you can say to God, and you can pray to God. Read a psalm aloud, and then go back to that psalm and look for phrases that you can use as a Christian that you can pray to God and use. After thinking about them, pray those phrases in your own words to God. And the man was impressed with the suggestion, followed it and found that he was spending more time in prayer every day. He said that he prayed much of the night, that night following their conversation. Living in the Scriptures and being encouraged by them, we realize that walking with God is really based upon trust and not sight. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, Paul said that we walk by faith and not by sight. We will not always be able to see God's hand. God does not always work visibly before us so that we see His every move. He works behind the scenes, quietly fulfilling His purposes. We may not know exactly what He's doing, but we believe that He is in control. We believe that He is faithful to us, and the Psalms bolster that faith that we have. Living in the Scriptures, we're confronted with the truth that being a friend of God involves praise and thanksgiving, something that especially we focus in when we gather together to worship God in an assembly like this. Psalm 30 and verse 12 says, "That my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." Regardless of the situation that one finds himself in at the various times of life, praise and thanksgiving to God are always appropriate. We are to fight our battles with the prayer of praise to God. And beyond what we see and beyond what the world says, we know that God is good and we know that He will never, ever forsake His children. Living in the Scriptures and being encouraged by them, we will be gripped by the truth that walking with God is the highest form of life that we can live. Psalm 84, 11 and 12. "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in You." Psalm 89, 15 through 17. "How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of Your countenance. In Your name they rejoice all the day, and by Your righteousness they are exalted. For You are the glory of their strength, and by You favor, by Your favor, our horn is exalted." Living each moment in the blessed fellowship of God is the highest good that any human being on this earth can attain. Living in God's presence should really be our heart's desire as servants of God living in our lives today. The encouragement of the Scripture, living in the Scripture, we will see that being in the presence of God enables us to see God all around us. The psalmist said in Psalm 19 and verse 1, "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands." And that's done without a word being uttered. When we live our lives, when we look at the things around us that God has created, they speak volumes to us about what a loving and caring and powerful and wise God we truly have. We note that behind the thunderclap is the power of God. To us, the lightning shoots out from God's fingers. The majestic mountains do not just represent the magnificence of nature. They stand as unalterable testimonies about the power and the goodness of God. The stars are more than heavenly bodies to be studied. They are preachers who proclaim forth His glory to anyone who will look at them. Walking with God sharpens our vision to the glory of God that surrounds us in His creation. It's about walking with God. The encouragement of the Scriptures, encouragement to do what? To walk with God, to be in fellowship with Him. It's about growing in God. Psalms, again, illustrates growing in God beautifully. Through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Three stages of growth and understanding and trust will be realized by a follower of God. This is where faith and reality really meet. And I've chosen this simple illustration. Bear with me through the illustration to focus in on growing with God and three different plateaus or three different levels that can be picked up by a person who looks to the Scriptures to find encouragement. Let's call this first level, this lowest level, orientation. Bear with me as we accommodatively use that expression, and I'll tell you what I mean. When you are seeking employment from an employer and they agree to hire you, they want you to attend a session that they call orientation. And what that is their opportunity to tell you the basics of what it's going to be like to be employed at their company. They will tell you things that are basic, such as you're expected to be at work on time. If circumstances arise and you can't be at work, you are expected to call your supervisor and tell him that you won't be there and furnish a reason why. Other things are covered, like you're allowed so much time to take a break at various times of the day. You're allowed so much time for a lunch break. Rules about how to work with other people and conduct yourself. Vacation, benefits, your insurance coverage, things like that are all taken care of in what's called an orientation. So if you think of those basic things, think of this first plateau as a spiritual orientation. This level place is the solid ground of our beliefs. We believe there is a God. And we believe that God takes care of His people. And we believe that God had a representative that came to this earth to speak His will, known as the Messiah. He has given us His will. He's created us, and He's created all things, and we live in His world, and we're required to live by His rules. Basic things. And God's wisdom surrounds us. He protects His own. He is in charge of our well-being. When one stands on this plateau, he puts all of his weight on those basic and fundamental beliefs that are held to be true by all believers. And those are things that you see emphasized in various places in the Scriptures about belief in God, trust in God, living according to His will, and being blessed as a result. Basic things. Orientation. Okay, the second plateau that we'll talk about, let's call it, since we're familiar with what we're talking about when we're saying orientation, let's call it disorientation. And what we mean by that is, your life as a believer, and you're standing on these basic principles that you understand, faith in God, obey God, God will bless you, and then tragedy comes into your life. Some problem, some trial, some circumstance, some tragedy, some death in the family, some enemy attacks you for some reason. Physical disease, financial calamities, the loss of a job, the death of a loved one. Something suddenly turns your world upside down, so you are disoriented. In bewilderment, we're tempted to ask, where is God when I need Him? Because of the trials that we're going through. In our hearts, we may wonder, is God really going to protect His own? Where is the peace that I've heard so much about? Disorientation. And it is then that we must come to level three. Reorientation, let's call it. We face our crisis in life with faith in God. In the crucible of suffering, whatever trial it is that we're called on to suffer, we're forced to see that God's ways are not man's ways, as Job was forced to see that. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declare the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And sometimes we don't grasp that, but we should learn that and appreciate that, and we do so in this process of growth. We learn that in faith, we must hold on to God when we can't see God, and we can't understand and see how He's going to bring things about in our lives to make it better. He's the same Almighty God that we've always believed Him to be, but we are brought to a new level of understanding about Him because of what we went through in the disorientation. We must walk with God in a real world of suffering and pain. Sometimes we see His obvious works, His great deliverances, and sometimes we must trust Him when He works behind the scenes, behind the screen of the great unknown. Stepping up to this level, we find really that God has not forsaken us at all. Even though when our minds are clouded by this dark mist of struggle that we might be going through, it may appear to us that God has forsaken us, but He hasn't. The challenge comes when we must move from disorientation to reorientation. As we were talking about in our Bible class, when we mentioned 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, the second part of that verse, where Paul was talking about the afflictions that he endured and the comfort that he appealed to God for, on behalf of these Corinthians, the same was true with them. And Paul said, basically, it's so that we would learn not to trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. That passage makes a point perfectly for us as to what we're talking about in this growth segment point about the encouragement that we receive from the Scriptures. Trusting in God, not in ourselves. If we get stuck in disorientation, if we're captured by confusion and we become cemented in doubt somehow, we'll never rise to the highest level of understanding that God wills for His children. Pity the child of God who never ascends to a rugged faith, a reoriented faith that trusts in a God that the person cannot touch with his hands or see with his eyes, that believes when it cannot see, that feels the mercy and the mighty acts of God when surrounded by misery, tragedy, problems, trials, and difficulties and misfortune of a sin-laden, wicked world. Although the Psalms were composed for different purposes, one could say that they really all teach one basic spiritual lesson, and that lesson is trust in God. And that's the fundamental lesson of being encouraged by the Scriptures, whatever book that we look at in the Scriptures. Trust in God. Regardless of our circumstances. The writers may be in the worst difficulties. They may not know what to do, but they know where to look. And they know where to go for help. They remind us of King Jehoshaphat, who when he found himself in the valley of absolute despair, cried to God and said, "We're powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on You." 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12. It's about growing in God. And then, of course, it's about trusting in God when trials come. I think this point's already made, but to emphasize from the Psalms, Psalm 11 and verse 1, "In the Lord I take refuge." That's how that psalm begins. In verse 4 of Psalm 11, "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men." In verse 7, "The upright will behold His face." Psalm 16, "Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in You. I said to the Lord, 'You are my Lord. I have no good besides You.'" In verse 7 and 8 of 16, "I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken." When trials come, we bring our problems to God as God's people. We can recognize that God never abandons His children. Never does God ever turn His back on His people. Never, ever. He is especially near when His children are in trouble. We close our eyes to that fact sometimes. No father would walk off and leave a child in pain or a life-threatening situation. No normal father would do that. Would our Heavenly Father do that with His children, with us? God, the perfect Father, is always standing with His children, no matter what distresses they experience in life. Those who are trying to be righteous in His sight are seeking to walk with God. They want to walk with Him and have His blessings and have His fellowship and have His presence and protection. What attitude shall we take when adverse circumstances seem to be just covering us and engulfing us in difficulty? What should we do? We should walk with faith and walk with God. The Psalms really, really come to life out of this big bowl, this melting pot, this crucible of suffering that many who wrote the Psalms were having to endure. Very many of the Psalms were given birth by fiery fingers of pain and anguish, misunderstanding, disappointment, grief, suffered by people who believed in God. They ought to be of some benefit for us when we go through trials. The servants of God who wrote them had intimately lived the raw side of life, hard life, but they never permitted that darkness of pain to hide the face of God. They always saw the face of God. The intention behind all 150 of the Psalms is to provide a guide to sing about that, to praise God about it, to meditate on it, to pray as we walk with God regardless of the circumstance. Now, what does that mean for me? What does that mean for this boy who lives in 2013 in Jackson, Tennessee? What does it mean? Have you ever had a sleepless night? Have you ever been weighed down so much mentally that you're totally unable to go to sleep? And you lie there in the bed thinking, "What can I do to trick my body to make it think that it needs to go to sleep? I know I've got to work in the morning. I know I've got to get up at such and such time." And your mind is racing. And no matter how hard you strive to get away from what's bothering you, it's like a weight. It's like an anchor holding the ship. And you just can't rest. Have you ever had a night like that? It's hard. But let me tell you something that helps me and has helped me. When I have a night like that, open the Psalms and find one, not one where David is pleading with God to destroy his enemies. You know, that might keep you up a little later than you originally intend to be up. But one that praises and adores God and walking with God and the blessings of it, the appeal to God for the wonderful life that believers have and how good God is that He watches us. He's a shield for our enemies. He protects us. He guards us. He sees us through when we don't even realize it. And you know, at times when I have read those, it hadn't been very long till I was at peace with myself and I was able to sleep. Try that sometimes. It works. Trusting in God when trials come. Are you encouraged by the Scriptures? Psalm 19, 7 through 14. I'm going to read, focus in on some of these things, these blessings of encouragement that we can get from the Scriptures. Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. My rock and my redeemer. Are you encouraged by the Scriptures? You can be. Are you utilizing the Scriptures to encourage you? You should be. You're missing a lot if you don't. I assure you. As you read many of the Psalms, you'll find that the writer finds complete satisfaction in God. Complete satisfaction in God. The people who wrote the Psalms, they didn't leave still in search, wondering if they ever would find it. They express that the treasure has been found. God's not just His salvation, but He's also sustenance. He's also life support for those who serve Him. Real life is only found in God. Only in God, the refuge, the source of life, do we find that deep, deep satisfaction of living a life walking with God. And we can see it so clearly in the Psalms. If you're in our assembly today and you're not a Christian, maybe some of the things that we have said about the blessings that are available, the encouragement from the Scriptures, the blessings that come from walking with God will affect you such that in your belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you're willing to do whatever He says. You're looking for that peace. You're looking for that fellowship with God because you know He works behind the scenes even when you can't see it, and He blesses you in the final analysis. And if you want to become a Christian today, if you'll repent of your sins, confess Him before men, we'll lower you in this watery pool behind me. We'll baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. You'll be raised to walk in newness of life as a Christian, one in fellowship with God. And you will rejoice when you read the Psalms because you'll know that walking with God is real. And you're walking with God. Can we help you today? If we can, please come to the front. Let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.